Junior at Chamberlain High School. What did you mean when you said change was coming about the seventh period of sixth grade?
And I'm going to answer,
yes.
We have been working very hard with the budget committee, and we have realized that by making the four high schools that are on seventh period day right now move and lose that period, it would put an unfair burden on them. And I believe that the board, the majority of the board feels that's true, and I expect that when we pass the budget on next Monday, that will be taken out. Now, with that being said, I never say never, but I will not vote for a budget that has that in it. And I would hope that my fellow board members would. And I would have to say that I'm 99% sure that will be spared.
My name is Melanie Thompson, and I have a freshman at Dunwoody High. My statement is, our basic need to be maintained at a high level. My question is, what is the status on the current bank and governor's honors programs? And how will that status impact the perceived quality of the education received in the county?
Thank you for the question. Ms. Howard, I'm going to ask you to come up as well. Now, I'm going to take the front end about her bank and the STT program. You did ask me that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'll ask Ms. Howard to add in and take on governor's honors program. The formula that I want to share with you is that, as you know, that was one of the options that was put in the 43, 45 options to cut. And the Board Budget Finance Committee, which is headed by Mr. Paul Womack, who's sitting back in the center, he's led that committee to really do some really great things with the budget. And they have already concluded to remove that from as a cut. Now, what I want to add to that is that I'm not quite sure how much you all know that there was litigation going on between the school district and Fernbank Natural Museum. And long story short, both parties recognize that the people walking out of it are the attorneys. They're the one. And we just decided to put the lawyers out, bring the two groups in, and let's see what we can do to make this a win-win. And we did that. And that meeting was about a month and a half ago, and what's come out of that now is that the Fernbank team, including the teachers, because they need to be a part of the decision-making capacity, they are redesigning the whole Fernbank Science Center program and really building a new vision of how we can reach more students across the entire county and really make that a bigger, more robust program. We're really looking at really reinstituting the internal programming for the Fernbank Science Center, and they are owning that and leading the charge. And we'll be cutting that shortly to the superintendent's office to present the vision. Then a partnership will occur between the Science Center and the museum so that they can partner together and create a win-win in the community. The museum has some things that they need us to change. We have some things we need them to change, and we think we can agree to work better together and help each other. So that's coming. So STT will move forward for the next year, but you will also see the whole structure and deliverable system of Fernbank Science Center become more robust and open up to all the students across the district.
Ms. Talley, would you like to add science? Thank you, Ms. Tyson. Relative to Governor's Honors, we are not anticipating changes in that program next year. Ms. Tyson has charged the staff once the board adopts the budget. We will sit down and vet what's left relative to personnel. We'll also do a matrix of the programs and services that we currently offer through teaching and learning. And we have already been thinking about programs such as the Governor's Honors that are essential to what we do. So I can pretty much commit to you that we will assure that that will continue. We know that's an important program for our students. If I may, I would want to add to one thing Ms. Tyson said about STT. We have already accepted applications, as you all know. We have about 400 applications next year for STT.
Hi, I'm Dr. Alicia Waller, and I have three children in the system.
And first of all, I'd like to say I think that redistricting is necessary right now, but I have huge concerns given the way the last time we closed schools, how those decisions would be made. And I wanted to let you know that redistricting is a well-known industrial engineering problem. It's a well-solved problem. And just down the road, 85, we have the number one IE department in the entire nation. In addition, both Delta Airlines and AirTran have internationally known OR programs, and those are the people who do that kind of work. And so I would like to see more accountability this time. When that is done, that it's done in a way that makes engineering sense, that takes into account a wide variety of constraints, that includes multiple objective functions, and that includes the appropriate data. Because I know that last year, we were directly lied to and told that they did a time study analysis of how much the transportation would change when they moved Kittredge. And when I asked for that report directly, I was told by the transportation director, actually, we didn't do that. We drove one car one time. So in terms of accountability, I would like to see direct accountability and no more lies in terms of what has been studied and what data has been taken into account. In addition, since this is my area and I have a PhD in operations research from Cornell University, I would be happy to serve on a parent committee and help with that. There is lots of expertise out there if you would just tap it. And master's degree students at Georgia Tech could solve this problem much more cheaply and much better than the people that you would hire and spending all your money where they just take a report from a different state and change the name. So I would really like to see you tap the resources that are here. And use your I would like you to use engineering to solve our budgeting problems and our redistricting problems. So these are well-known, well-solved problems. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Shari Dayer. I'm kindergartner at Vanderland, and I have a preschooler in the inclusion program at Coralwood. Before I ask my question, I just want to thank the board members here for continuing to support Coralwood Preschool. So my question is a little bit is redistricting related. I would like to speak to your timeline, if you have one, and then also how much public engagement you're going to invite in, because I think that was one of the challenges, at least in this cluster, the last time we tried that. And if you haven't thought about it, just urge you to please have some public engagement there. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Bowles, I want you to talk about the timeline. Okay.
Excuse me. Thanks for your question. And the timeline that has been suggested to us by the board is September. And so we're scrambling now to see what we can do with a September timeline and are in dialogue with the superintendent about the challenge of that timeline, to be frank with you. And timeline, another part was civic engagement. I think everyone, in fact, Lynn and us, Lynn, Valet, Sean, anybody else on the Citizens Planning Task Force present? We have three people in the room, Ms. Tyson, that are on the Citizens Planning Task Force that have been very engaged with us as we go through, as we went through, excuse me, phase one. And what we're trying to do is figure out what can be the level of citizens' engagement is if we have a September time frame. So, that's the
answer. Mr. President, how long generally includes a begin date and an end date? Is this September your begin or your end date?
Ending date, I'm sorry. Yes. And specifically, Dr. Barr, a timeline of bringing a recommendation to the board.
Now, we'll add to that too. Today is Wednesday. The board voted on Monday. And I got a request on my desk on yesterday to get ready to establish our first kickoff meeting. So keep in mind the board just voted on Monday. We are working aggressively to get our first internal meeting together so that we can put out all of our milestone benchmark dates and dates to support the end goal of the September date. So It's just been about 48 hours since the board voted, and we should have a much clearer picture of when we are actively will begin the planning part of it, who all the stakeholders and parts and pieces are. I heard you clearly with your advice and input regarding resources and engineering functions that are out there, and I will commit to you be part of our first discussion.
Okay. And I thought, if you don't mind this question, I would point out for Dr. Waller, but everybody else who might not know, is one thing that we did this year was to hire a professional planner who is an engineer and is very experienced in public planning. And so we actually have a full-time staff member that does that work with us now and is at the table as we just make all the decisions about that.
Be gentle.
Yeah, you've never gotten to the back of the room where the people who really misbehaved it. Just say the statement I have as a member of the Citizens Planning Task Force, which is once again, good life lesson to say no, but in a big picture way, and actually not really related to the four schools in the two communities we were really talking about, but in a very global sense and in a very real sense, the barrier we have to consolidating and redistricting and closing schools as we have is that really, unlike most Metro Atlanta school districts, we have widely inconsistent offerings in our schools. Within a cluster, you can have one elementary school with 300 kids and one elementary school with 900 kids, which automatically affords more extras or more specials, which to me are not extra, in a school with 300 kids and in a school with 900 kids, because the state earnings, as we know, are widely different. So, at the very end, towards the very end of our Citizens Planning Task Force meetings, there was some discussion of moving some students from School A to School B, which really was going to be a hugely dramatic difference. And this was just pure redistricting, this wasn't closing. And that is a problem. And I am greatly concerned, and I spoke to Ernest Brown yesterday, and he is greatly concerned that a September finish date for this is not enough, because there are some policy decisions that this board needs to make. And they relate to what makes a solid core offering for every DeKalb elementary, middle, and high school. Because if we are committed, as Mr. Adobe spoke to, of maintaining our school sizes as they are, and it's especially in respect to high schools and elementary schools, we cannot move. To me, it's very difficult. We have such local control is a great concept. But what happened in DeKalb, which did not seem to happen in other school systems, is that we have no common core. You can have AP physics at one school and not at another, even if there's student interest. You can have calculus BC at one school and not at another, because even if there's student interest. You can have, in the electives categories, you can have drama at some high schools and not at others. And to me, there are core common values that this board needs to commit to for each school in the system and fund for each school in the system at a minimum. And I have been saying that for 13 years. But now it's come home to roost, because what's going to happen if you move forward and you change children's high school districts in particular? First of all, you have the very touchy issue that you have four high schools on the 7-period day, they have 7 credits, and you have the rest on the 8 on the block. So in theory, you could be moving children from one schedule type to another, and their parents could have strong preferences for one or the other. You're just adding to the layers of reasons for people to fight redistricting. Until you make a board policy that says, at a minimum, the core at each school is going to look like this, regardless of whether we have to fund it with local dollars, and we're going to, 450 is not really the magic number. That's the thing that many of us in the task force realize. 450 gets you a fully paid librarian, and it gets you one PE teacher. It doesn't get you an art teacher, and it doesn't get you a music teacher in an elementary school. It only gets you half of the assistant principal. And so, knowing all that, and knowing that some of those issues aren't going to be resolved overnight, before you come up with a plan to redistrict, you have to have a plan that smooths out the inconsistencies. And that is very important, because it isn't, it is one thing to move a child from one school to another, and the teachers, it's not a test score issue, because I know people like to believe that, and it's not about the quality of the leadership at the school and the quality of the teachers, because the first thing that a child gains or loses is what that school has differently than theirs. And we have wildly different cores at each school. And as I said last year, and I'm saying it again, Ms. Tyson, when a principal has to choose between a music teacher and a reading specialist, that is absolutely not a choice. If we're going to have small schools, this board has to take the charge to come up with a way to pay for what makes a common core experience. And then if a principal comes to you and says, Ms. Tyson, I really can't fit art in because our reading scores are so low, then you have the ability for your administrators to approve it. But at a minimum, every child ought to have some of the same opportunities. I find it horrifying that every high school we have doesn't have a drama teacher. I just think that we are missing things that are basic to K-12 education because of how we are allotting dollars. And I think, so I, Artist, who isn't here, and I are gravely concerned about the September timeline for needs assessment and moving forward. The second part of it is, and then I'll be quiet. Is that I read in the paper today that the DeKalb Tax Digest dropped less than expected. Does that affect us at all?
We were actually talking about that while we were waiting on the meeting to start, and that is the fact that that wasn't a paper. Mr. Turk, please come.
They said it wasn't final.
Good morning, and yes, I had a conversation with the tax assessor's office yesterday, and it is not, at this point, as bad as they projected back in the early winter. It is not final, though. It is far from final. And numbers will be moving all about both ways, up and down, until they get all the values set. There's a large appeal process that has to take place as well. And to give you an indication of the type of appeals that we're looking at, in a typical year, we haven't had one of those for a couple of years now, they receive about 2,000 appeals per season. This year, they already have 15,000. So we know that it's far from final.
And I want to say that I take a lot of suggestions and a lot of information from Lynn. And if I was standing at that microphone, I could not have said better what she said. And I believe 100% of what she said. We do need, whatever we do, fellow board members, superintendent, I don't want to rush into this. I don't want to go crazy. If we haven't redistricted 28 years, I don't see why we have to have it done by September if we don't have it in line. I would like to see information given to that whoever's doing it in the central office from every single department in the system. And why they think it's going to work or why they don't think it's going to work. I want it to be a collaboration of everybody. Special needs people. There's so many things that need to be put into that. And I don't want to be in a situation where I'm at a public meeting and somebody walks up to the microphone and asks us a question and we don't have the answer. If we don't have the answer, we're not ready to do it. And we just need to go back and start over again. So that would be my suggestion. I would hope that would be thought about. I didn't even know we had set a September date. Nobody ever told me that, but I don't want to be told.
That comes back to the budget committee.
Hello, good morning. I'm Renata here. Excuse me, Renata here. Thank you for coming here. I thought you did a great job speaking to the large group. But what I wanted to ask about was the PR firm. I could be wrong, but I thought that the DeKalb County school system had a PR department with a head that makes a really big figure salary. So will you retain that PR department while also hiring someone to do their job?
Good question. Several comments to that one question. One, we are not trying to hire a public relations firm. We are hiring the expertise of Crisis Management. Let me say that. And we, if for those of you that are in PR, you know they offer boutique of services that are available from, you know, brand management to messaging to all that kind of stuff. When we interviewed five firms to look to get ready for what's just going to happen this month, we are bringing short term in a firm in to help us just to get through the DA and all that stuff that's going to come with that. We were able to whittle down and say, you know, you may offer these six boutique of services, but here's the one we want. Here's, and it deals with crisis management. So let me say that first. Secondly, we do have a public relations department, and our public relations department has a director of public relations that handles what we call routine issues or routine services, such as the productions that are on the TV station, you know, the board meetings, and the programming that we produce shows and put out there for consumption. They handle the newsletter, they handle press releases, they handle the photography for all the recognitions and the events, from Spelling Bee to Val Sound program to the Fine Arts Showcase and that kind of thing. But they are not a staff that comes with the experience of handling crisis management. So that being said, that's why we're seeking some help. Now, there is this issue of personnel and confidentiality and employment laws, and for those of you that are in that field, you know we're bound by the kinds of things that we can come publicly and say and don't say. What I do want to leave you with is that do not assume anything. Assume that the district has looked at this holistically, and it knows that if it needs help on one end, and we're not getting help with what we have, there has to be some changes. And that's pretty much all I can say right now, because we have an employment attorney that would have heartburn to know that I'm going any further than that. So just write it out with us. Okay.
My name is Robert Wittenstein. I have two children in the school system. My question is really for Jim and Dr. Speaks and the rest of the members of the board. 2 weeks ago, the legislature passed a bill that would allow a school cluster, a high school, a middle school, and all of its feeder elementary schools, to create a charter cluster and to get some more control over the kinds of staff and the kinds of programming and the level of funding. And I'm wondering whether the CABS Board of Ed would be willing to entertain some of its clusters to apply for it and start that process, and how you might react to a school system either ashamed of or done with applying to create a cluster and to try to get a little more local control over the school system.
Again, Weber and I talked about that as we went along, and one of my issues to get on the board was the biggest problem that DeKalb County had was that the system is too big and too dispersed and too spread out, and that it would be wonderful if we could come up with a method of making it a little smaller, and I think a breakdown by cluster could very well handle that problem. I have not seen the whole bill and what's all involved in it, and it would have to go to our staff and to Ms. Tyson to see if there's anything in it that would be that would cause heartburn to us. But I think it is a good step at trying to solve the problem in urban Georgia for school systems that are countywide that have 100,000 kids or more. Not only the amount of kids are a problem, it's the diversity of the kids. And it's really difficult to discuss something that goes on at Shambly High School, and something that goes on at Stevenson High School, and something that goes on at Lithonia High School, and something that goes on at Willow Grove High School, and to try to keep them all together. It's a very, very difficult thing. And I don't think any staff, no matter how talented they are, can keep up on all that's going on in different communities. So when Dan and I talked about it, I told him that I thought the concept was great, because we can't be a Decatur school system or we can be a charter school system. We're too big for that. but if there is a way to do it by legislation where both sides get something out of it, I would be more than happy to support it and think it would be a great way for us to go. Did I say that I shouldn't?
John and I have got to leave, but I want to say something this week before we have a budget meeting. We won't start. But I think this group needs to know something that Tyson spoke to you about, and that's the extra money that came out of the Department of Education. That process was started by a very distinguished member of your community, Mr. Fran Miller. He got $1,200,000. He went down and started the process. What's the number now?
Total entitlement from previous years and what we now know that we will be entitled to for next year is at $21
million. So you all need to thank Fran Miller for making this process begin anew. And he opened the door for us, and Ms. Tyson and her staff walked through. That's all I've got to say.
One thing I want to say, first of all, I hate this, to compliment Fran, I guess. Fran and I go way back to the working camera days when he was the manager, and all I can say, as I've said to you before, he was a much better legislator than he was a baseball player. I just wanted to correct my fellow board member, because I tell my wife this all the time. There is no such thing as extra money. Additional money, but not extra money. She'll come to me and say, Jim, let me get some extra money, and I go, forget it, it ain't going to happen.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Deb Cameron. I have two children in the district, one an eighth grader here at Peach Tree and a fourth grader at Dunwoody Elementary. Ms. Tyson, when you spoke to the changes coming in the 7th period and 6th period day, I hope you were referring to the block schedule, but I think I'm mistaken. Is there going to be any district-wide decision or change made about the block schedule?
Allow me to say this, and that is that the board has asked, and we have heard the charge, that we need to look at the whole concept of blocks, the 6th period day, the 7th planning, you know, 2 planning periods versus 1 planning period. And that will be part of the charge for this school year. So at this point, there is no direct answer of what we will do, but that will be part of what we will take on this school year. It will be. We will be sitting down with all the planning groups and making some decisions about where we're going to go from here. It's coming.
I'll be quick. I'm Paige Olson. Thank you, Ramona, for stepping up to a plate.
I asked where you were when I first got here.
I just wanted to take a moment, and Jim mentioned something very important, letting the experts do their job. We've got wonderful folks in DeKalb County. Our design team for Dunwoody High School has had the privilege of working with Barbara Coleman. I think you picked the right person for the job. She is communicative, responsive, working with the city of Dunwoody. We don't want, we want it to be a wonderful renovation and addition, something to lead us into the future. And I think I just can't say enough about how well this project is going. And I'm just very, very thankful for y'all putting her in that tough spot and to take over, because we're delighted with what we've experienced so far. And I just want to thank you so much.
I may make a comment to that, Paige. I got to tell you all, my whole year has been really weird. I was the CIO up until May of last year, and I got called in, and I was told that we're restructuring, and we want you to do something new. And you know, when you get called, you just say, okay, and you come in, and you start to go to work. Then in October, I got called in again, and I was told, tomorrow you take over construction and facilities. Keep in mind, there is no difference between brick and mortar. Just got to say that. And I won't take all the credit, but I just got to say, I was a part of the decision making to go get Barbara, and I got to tell you, it was one of the best decisions. It was one of the best decisions the school district could have made in times of turmoil. And I got to tell you, the construction program has been a seamless operation without a hiccup on the radar in the midst of everything that's going on with the construction program. And it is because of not only her expertise and skill and talent, but just her personality. Her personality of being able to go in and walk into a difficult situation and really keep it moving. And I concur with you, and I want to acknowledge Barbara for that. She's done a great job.
Good morning. My name is Karen Jones, and I'd like to thank you for stepping up. I know it's been very trying times, and your voice is evident. Thank you. I have two kids, one in Montgomery and one in Kittredge, and they both have great principals, Dr. Silvers and Mrs. Humble. My first is a comment. The crisis management firm, in your speech you said control the message that gets out. And I think the only thing that needs to get out is the truth. And I think we're all adults and we can handle the truth. And we will respond to truth, and some of it will be anger and some of it will be disappointment. But that's all we expect of the information we get. It's just the truth. So I ask you to keep that in mind.
I promise you not only will we keep it in mind, but it will be the only thing we do. When you have hit what we have hit, you can always survive it and be able to.
Right.
And we will do it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
When Mr. Mosley announced the September date, I know there was a small gasp in my area, for the ending of redistricting. So I have two questions in that regard. I know back a few years ago when we did redistricting, the demographer that we hired was also hired to install the GIS software and training for that GIS software. And if we're looking at that type of a schedule, I think the chief, I would like to know if the GIS, a year later after the contract, I know it had not been installed and we had not even trained any of the staff members. Is that installed now?
Yes. Mr. Moulton says yes. And if I were to respond to the September date, I feel a little more brave and say this. Womack walked out there. You never know. Mr. Womack and I tussle every day. It's just working with Mr. Womack. and he did very assertively announce it September date at the meeting. And when he said it, you know, I learned to get his poker face in the boardroom. And I literally stopped breathing when I heard it. And I just said, okay, I know this is the first battle about the whole redistricting thing, and I'll just say, I'm saying it behind his back for y'all.
He said when I was doing it, it was the beginning.
It's very aggressive, and we told him it's very aggressive, but the good news, what I like about talking to an individual board member, is the full board. It's the full board that really decides. So I think the full board will acknowledge that it's going to be difficult to come and conclude in September. And so I want everybody to rest easy with that. I know the staff needs to rest easy because they're wired. It's very aggressive, and it's a start. Let's just say that, it's a start.
And also, I know in the previous consolidation that we did not work with DeKalb County Planning, and they have a great amount of data available for use planning for doing that strategic growth planning that we need so desperately. I would urge you to please reconnect with them if you have.
We have actually signed the board approved an MOU with the DeKalb County government on data sharing back in just a couple of months ago. And so we're engaged with them pretty heavily. As I shared earlier, I want everyone to know we have a professional planner on board, and he's an engineer, all the credentials, done a lot of things. His name is Dan Frank, he's doing a really good job.
And two more comments. Cobb County has a great public engagement policy that if you could at least look at that. Solves a lot of problems, gets public input when needed and actually needed. Thank you.
Okay. This is going to be the last question because Ms. Tyson has to leave, but I'll remind everyone there's a basket here. I can pass it around if you want or stop. get a card, write your name legibly with your email so that we are able to get answers.
Hi, Ms. Tyson. I'm Melia Keith. Good to see you again. And this is really just an FYI. Since the hot topic seems to be the redistricting plan, I want to speak on behalf of the Citizens Planning Task Force and let you know that all of the documentation that we looked at is available on the website. And the person that we do have in place now, Dan Drake, is awesome at his job. If you take a couple of hours, because it will take you that long, and go on the website and download the maps, the data that he was able to present to us week after week, I assure you he knows what he's doing. And I believe the county is headed in the right direction with this huge task of redistricting. So I just wanted to give you all the opportunity to know that the data that we were presented with week after week is out there, it's available, it's very comprehensive, it's very easy to read, and I believe we're headed in the right direction.
And to follow that up, things are different in the cab now, and employees like Dan are going to be able to let the superintendent know what needs to be done, and not be, I got to be careful how I say this, but not be pointed in the wrong direction because of somebody else's idea of what should be better or what would be better in certain points. And that's the thing we're trying to get accomplished. Sean?
I just want to say, as a member, before and with Ramona, it's an adventure, the meeting lies. We were very, very, very transparent. All the information we gave them, and they would not report exactly what we said. They never once said that there was a number that we needed to reach. They never, not once. I looked at every channel. They never came out and told the story. So what you're doing there, I think, is very important. About that process, and I think it. Are you kidding me? We didn't say that. They would take our sentence and put it in something else that did not.
And that's what Ms. Tyson meant when she said we're going to get, not to build a story, but to at least make sure that our story, whatever that may be, gets out, because we weren't doing that. And so if we didn't do that, and the way to do it is do it before it gets to the newspaper, to get it out before all that other stuff comes in, and we'll be great. And probably the best thing for me that happened from the Citizens Task Force is that I know there are three people now in Dunwoody that would never run for my job.
I think you'll agree. I actually went to the Emory Libous meeting and I came back and said, she's going to speak from the heart, she's going to be truthful, and any of the questions that we do have, I'll be sending to you so we will get the answers back. Thank you all for being here. Obviously, it's going to be a busy summer, and I'd like to adjourn our meeting. Thank you.